You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Craftsman Days are here at Lowe's with big savings on the tools you need. Right now, get a free select tool when you buy the Craftsman V20 2-Pack Battery Kit. Whether it's the backyard, the bathroom, or beyond, Craftsman has the tools to help you power through and get the project done right. Because DIYing is unpredictable, but your tools shouldn't be. Shop Craftsman at Lowe's today. Valid through 6/18 while supplies last. Selection varies by location.
Welcome to Monsters Among Us. I am your guide, Derek Hayes. Oh, how great it is to have you with us for another episode. And smart move on your part for swinging by tonight, because I have a stellar episode locked and loaded for your enjoyment. And in the interest of getting directly into the action, let's just go ahead and get started. So from the state of Idaho, please join me in welcoming Dylan to tonight's program.
Hi, Derek. My name is Dylan. I am calling from southern Idaho. This story takes place around a graveyard. Me and my mom and my brother were on the way to school. She was going to drop us off. I was in the fourth grade. It was in the morning, and it was clear, I guess. It was just a little cloudy. We were coming to a four-way stop that was just at the edge of this graveyard. It was Mount Calvary Cemetery. I look out to my left, and I see ghosts. I know that sounds dumb, but there were two that were dressed in Victorian style clothing, like the beginning of the American Industrial Revolution, and they were dancing like as if they were at a ball. Then I look to where a crosswalk is, and there's a dude in more modern clothing. He's walking into the crosswalk, and cars are just driving through him like he's not there. But I see him. I'm concerned. When I say modern clothing, I mean like he's wearing like those blue puffy jackets that make that funny noise when you rub them. I ask my mom if she sees them. She just says that they're just decoration or someone's projecting them. But they didn't look like projections. They were completely white. Just dancing and walking. There are only three, though. That's my story. Thank you for having my call. Keep doing what you do. I love it. Bye-bye.
Thank Thank you, Dylan. That one was perfectly macabre. Ghosts in Victorian clothing. Ballroom dancing in the middle of a cemetery. And a modern age ghost as well. Watching, apparently. One of those third wheel ghosts, I suppose. But this is one of those classic ghost stories that we would often hear originating from earlier, simpler times. The sort of thing that those timeless ghost stories are built upon. But whatever Dylan saw that morning, we sure are glad that he took the time to tell us about it. Now, if only he took a couple of pictures. Thank you again, Dylan, for taking the time to submit that entry. Now, folks, I have all kinds of creepy stories to share with you this evening. But before I can get to all of that, we have to get through this first ad break. So don't go anywhere. I'll be right back.
So there's 2 ounce bases loaded, ninth inning. For the show, per se.
Welcome to Everytown, where host Andrew Fitzgerald explores the darkest corners of the human psyche and uncovers the most chilling true crime stories you've never heard of. This podcast takes you on a journey into the lurking darkness beneath the surface of every town. Each week, the host explores murders and mysteries that happen across regular, everyday towns in America, from quiet suburbs to bustling city streets. No community is immune. Join Andrew as he peels back the layers of normalcy, revealing the grim realities that hide behind closed doors and familiar faces. Ready to dive in but not sure where to start? Well, check out the episode about the legend of Cropsey called Staten Island's Nightmare, the urban legend that turned out to be real. They also recently did an episode all about hauntings that might be right up your alley. That one is called Are Ghosts Real? The Truth About Hauntings. I'll link to both episodes in tonight's show notes. So if you're a fan of true crime and the unexplained, Every Town is the podcast for you. Who knows? Your town might be next. Listen to Every Town on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Waited over a year for a sponsor.
I'm not a numbers person.
Now, I get complaints about the ads in the show from time to time. Some of you are saying they appear too early, and others say too often. Well, I'm here to tell you I have no control over either of those options. The advertisers pretty much determine when and where these ad breaks occur. It all boils down to statistics, really. But it's important to point out that this show would not exist without those ads. As of now, 4 people work on this program, pretty much full time. And we all have to eat, making them a necessary evil. So long story short, you can complain all you want, but I'm powerless to change any of it. But you can avoid ads altogether simply by joining our $1 level over on Patreon. I'll tell you how to do that here near the end of the program. But enough about all that, let's get back into the action. This time, with an entry from Jay, from down in Texas.
Hey Derek, everybody out there, Monster Land. Long time, first time. This event took place in San Antonio, Texas, in the Jefferson High School area around the mid-1980s. At that time, I was about 8 or 9 years old. I was with some family friends at another friend's home. Those friends are homeowners of a relatively old home in that area, which is considered somewhat historic. So on the night in question, I was upstairs in a shared bedroom that the homeowner's kids shared. There was a son and a daughter, and their older brother was not present that night, I think because they were still at football practice. Either way, they weren't there. They were playing upstairs with me until we were called downstairs for dinner. I remember those two running downstairs, and I made my way over to their bathroom to wash up. While washing my face, I looked up from the sink into the mirror and saw a figure standing behind me in the doorway. And then a shiver ran up the back of my neck, as if someone ran their finger up the back of my neck and head. It's a kind of sensation when you can't really feel it, but your central nervous system registers a sensation. I must have assumed it was just water running down my back or something. because it didn't register like a problem. Next thing I remember saying something like, "Sorry, I'll be right out," assuming someone was waiting on me because they were standing right outside the door. As I finished and dried my face, I focused on what was in the mirror and noticed that no one was there anymore. From that point, I thought nothing of that shiver and the brief sighting. Now, after dinner, I was standing in the foyer next to a closet awaiting what I was promised would be proof of a ghost in the house. But nothing. Disappointment. As I was walking back towards the stairwell to head back upstairs, I felt another shiver more intense than upstairs in the bathroom. As I had paused a moment to process the situation and the sensation, a loud crash and thud came from the closet. Me and the other kids down in the foyer yelped aloud, prompting the adults to run over from the living room across the way. They likely assumed that us kids had fallen down the stairs due to the combination of crashing and yelping, as we told them we would be upstairs playing. Now the man in the house approached his son slowly, opened the closet door, and asked if he had tried to contact the ghost, which shocked everyone. Like, how did he know kids were trying to contact a ghost? To our surprise, there was no mess in the closet. Nothing had fallen. He then confessed that he knew the house was haunted, or at least he felt that it was. This was another example of that belief. He had seen specters around the house, specifically figures in reflective surfaces like mirrors. And he told us that once he started seeing things, he called the realtor who came clean about the haunting. He was told that a cop lived there and had taken his life after accidentally killing a child in the line of duty. The cop had apparently hung himself in the foyer closet. After hearing that, I was taken home. Now, after a few nightmare-ridden weeks, the family friends came to visit us, and the son basically said that after we left, a family meeting was called whereby everyone in the house confessed to having also experienced weird and unexplained things around the house. Even the guy who wasn't there, after he heard everything that happened, he confessed too. They heard disembodied voices from what sounded like adults and children alike, as well as seeing specters that disappeared into walls and showed up on reflecting surfaces, specifically around the shared Brady Bunch style bathroom I used that previous night. Two of those kids shared the bathroom, and they said it was always an uneasy feeling when they used it. Now, I haven't seen those friends since they relocated to Arizona like a few years after the events. I just lost track, unfortunately. Couldn't find them on Facebook and what have you. About 15 years later, as a young adult using the nascent internet sleuthing available to me, I tried to find out what I could, but to no avail. Also used several libraries' microfiche film archives to investigate the case, but also to no avail, nothing but dead ends. Now, I haven't revisited this investigation, mainly because I don't know how old that house is, which is a major issue considering the potential age of that home. And I don't know the address, just an approximate location, i.e., you know, the high school area. Now, if anyone out there wants to see what they can find, I'm curious what might be available to know. Thanks again for all you and your folks do for us, Derek. I really love your content, and thanks for everything. Take care.
Thank you, Jay. Incredible stuff. Now, most witnesses to things like this never get any sort of validation. So in a weird sort of way, I'd say that Jay was pretty lucky. Now, we have a lot of new people tuning in here this evening. So shortly, one of them are seasoned internet sleuths. Maybe one of you can find the news report confirming the death of the police officer that Jay had mentioned. I think that would be a good start. And of course, if we do find anything, we'll circle back on this story for sure. And if you find something, or you have a paranormal story of your own to tell, give our 24/7 365 hotline a call at 888-608-NIGHT. That's 888-608-NIGHT. Or you can record your story as a voice memo on your cell phone and email it to me at monstersamonguspodcast@gmail.com. Now, the hotline does have a couple of rules. Follow these bad boys and you'll sound crisp and clear when I finally get your call on the air. True stories only. One story per call. But you can call as many times as you want. But remember to see rule one. Now, if you get cut off, there is a 5-minute limit per call to keep people honest. Just call back and finish where you left off, our amazing editor, Connor. We'll splice it all together and get it sounding real nice. And last but certainly not least, because it's probably one of the most important rules, call from a quiet place. Go to your bedroom or your bathroom. Close the doors, close the windows. Turn off the TVs. Turn off any fans you have in the room. The quieter it is when you call in, the better it'll sound. And for Pete's sake, please don't call from a moving vehicle. 90% of those calls are flat out unusable because of the background noise. So that's it. 888-608-NIGHT and monstersamonguspodcast@gmail.com. And we can't wait to hear from you. Now next up is an entry that'll make your skin crawl. Here to give you the jeebies is Hebe from the UK.
Hi Derek, my name is Hebe and I have a story for the podcast that I think you might find quite interesting. So I'm English, but this story actually took place in Egypt. When I was about 7 years old, me and my parents went on holiday to Egypt and it was kind of the small hours of the morning. Obviously being English, I'm used to it being quite cold, so I was struggling to sleep in the heat. And I woke up in the small hours of the morning, not particularly sure what woke me up. I think it was just the heat. And I looked around and I kind of had this feeling that something wasn't right. And I realized that I could see things moving around me, like insects, like tiny little beetles or cockroaches. And the more I looked, the more I could see them, like, everywhere. But I could tell that they weren't corporeal because I couldn't hear them moving. So the floor was tiled. Obviously, the ceiling and the walls were, like, plastered. So you should be able to hear the kind of little insect feet, especially with the number that I was seeing. So it was almost like, I don't want to say ghosts, but it was kind of like they were ghost insects. And I remember looking up the walls and it was just a swarm of them. Like they came up out of nowhere and covered the wall. And then I lifted my head to look at the ceiling and they were all over the ceiling. And I kind of rolled over to my right to look out the window at the balcony. And that's the most vivid memory of all of them, is just seeing them all swarm up the window and block out any kind of light that was coming in from the streetlights outside. And as they moved, it was like they merged into like waves of darkness. They almost became like ink splotches moving over the walls. So they'd gone from very clearly being these little insect shapes to being like waves of darkness moving over all the surfaces. And as I said, I'd been moving my head and I'd actually rolled over to the side. So that kind of makes me think it wasn't sleep paralysis because I was able to move and I was very much awake. And I was listening to see if I could hear them. I couldn't hear any movement. I could just see them. And it was very, very odd. I mean, I don't remember going back to sleep afterwards, but I must have done, because the next thing I remember after that is waking up again at sunrise. And I was woken up by the call to prayer that was going on at the mosque nearby. And I lay there and I was thinking about what I'd seen the night before and if it was real. And then the second part of the story happens, which is so odd. I was lying there and like the calls to prayer had stopped and it was deathly silent. My parents were both asleep, complete silence. And then I heard this big, booming voice. And it said one word. Sorry. The way I would kind of describe it is like the voice of God in Monty Python and the Holy Grail. That big, booming voice. And it was like, sorry. The sound was very clearly contained within the four walls of the room, and it like reverberated off the walls. I remember hearing the sound like echoing off the hard surfaces. And it was just so odd. And my little kind of 7-year-old brain was thinking, okay, maybe this is something apologizing for scaring me with the weird insect things the night before. And my parents woke up and I never told them about it because, like, my dad was very skeptical of anything paranormal. My mum just wasn't really interested. It's one of the only paranormal experiences I've ever had, and I can't explain it. I actually forgot that it happened until a couple of years ago. But yeah, it's very strange, and I'd be interested to hear what you think of it. So yeah, I hope you enjoyed the story. Thanks for your time. Keep up the great work.
Thank you, Hebe. And I'm sorry to all of you scathophobes out there. Listening to Hebe's experience probably did more than make your skin crawl. It's the fear of beetles, by the way. And according to Google, about 1% of you out there suffer from the disorder. And hopefully Hebe doesn't fall into that camp as well. Because it sounds like that experience was traumatizing enough without the added anxiety of a full-fledged phobia. Now, medically, there is an explanation for this, although I do have serious doubts that it's the true cause of this strange infestation. It's called peduncular hallucinosis. Now, peduncular hallucinosis is a rare neurological disorder that causes vivid visual hallucinations, often of people and animals, and typically occur in dark environments and last for several minutes. The hallucinations are normally colorful, vivid images that occur during wakefulness, predominantly at night. Now, the patient does not mistake these visions for reality, which is an important distinction between hallucinosis and psychiatric visual hallucination. Visions caused by PH are not accompanied by auditory hallucinations. And if you remember, Hebe mentioned not being able to hear the insects, even though they were scurrying across a tile floor. Now, PH is often associated with lesions on the brain, strokes, neurosurgery, or brainstem compression. So unless one of those applies to you, Hebe, I doubt that was the cause. However, giant swarms of insects are known to ravish that part of the world. Take this news story from 12 years ago as a perfect example, courtesy of Jewish One News.
A plague of over 30 million locusts is swarming over Egypt's cities and farms just 3 weeks before Passover. But officials and naturalists say it's all part of the locust's natural migration pattern. Nevertheless, this year's swarm is especially large. The swarm made its way from the Red Sea to Egypt and Saudi Arabia over the weekend. Egyptian Agricultural Minister Salah Abdel Momen said this particular horde of locusts was sexually immature and the insects lived off their fat and would not eat leaves and plants. Cairo has the situation under control, he said. But videos uploaded by amateur camera operators showed scenes of almost biblical proportions, with masses of insects darkening the sky, slamming into windows, and drowning out all other noise with their buzzing. The locust is an insect that is capable of eating its own weight of vegetable matter in a day, and with a favorable wind, covering more than 100 kilometers every 24 hours. The biggest known locust swarm contained some 12.5 trillion insects and weighed a collective 27.5 million tons.
Now, I realize that the locusts discussed in this video look much more like grasshoppers than they do beetles. So if a giant swarm was the explanation, I'd venture to guess that it was a swarm of a different species. Now, I have no idea what it was you experienced, Hebe, nor do I know where the booming voice originated from. But I do know that I really enjoyed this story. So thank you again for taking the time to call in.
Particularly picking up, not so much tomorrow, but...
Did you know using your browser in incognito mode doesn't actually protect your privacy? Take back your privacy with IPVanish VPN. Just one tap and all your data, passwords, communications, browsing history, and more will be instantly protected. IPVanish makes you virtually invisible online. Use IPVanish on all your devices, anytime you go online at home, and especially on public Wi-Fi. Get IPVanish now for 70% off a yearly plan with this exclusive offer at ipvanish.com/audio.
Want to keep your personal number private but still stay connected? With Line 2, you can get a second phone line right on your device with a super simple app and no need for another phone. Whether it's for online shopping, dating, or shielding your main number from spam, Line 2 is an easy way to manage it all. Ready for peace of mind without breaking the bank? Call, text, block, and more for only $9.99. Get started with line2.com/audio or download Line 2 in any app store today. Line 2, your second line simplified.
They're 9-46. That would put them on a pace. 7-130.
Now, we all have loved ones that have passed on that we wish we could see just one more time. Or, at the very least, we wish we could receive a sign that they're still out there, somewhere. And that's exactly what both of these next calls are all about. Please welcome Nicole from Ohio to tonight's program.
Hello, Derek. My name is Nicole, and I am from Columbus, Ohio. For starters, I would love to say I love the podcast. I've been listening for a few months now, binging all the episodes. But my story goes back to when I was a kid. My dad died when I was 10 years old in October of 1995. And prior to my dad passing, he had always said, like, if something was to ever happen to me when I come back, I'm going to come back as a bird. He never said what type, he just said a bird because they can fly freely. Well, it was about 2 years after his death. We were going up there to put flowers on his headstone, and it was in October or November, and all the leaves have already been off the trees and everything. So we get to the cemetery, and at the foot of my dad's headstone, there is a tree. This tree was already there before he had passed. We didn't plant it. It was already there. We get there, we get out, and we see that there is a white dove in this tree. At first, we thought it was fake. We thought somebody might have put it there for decoration. There's four of us kids. I'm the oldest of four. We all get out with our mom, and as soon as we get out, the dove flies around all four of us kids and then goes and sits on my mom's shoulder. We were so amazed, you know, being little kids, that this bird even came close to us, let alone sat on mom's shoulder, and it kept rubbing his face against my mom's face and making this, like, really, like, loving noise. I don't know how to explain it, but if you look up a dove noise, you'll know what I mean. So we sat there and played with the dove, I would say, for probably about an hour. You know, we were shocked that we were able to play with this beautiful white dove. So my mom's like, okay, well, it's getting late. Let's put the dove back in the tree and maybe, you know, he'll come back and see us next time. So we get in my mom's van and we leave and we're driving. I would say our house is about 2 to 3 miles away. Well, on the way home, we stop at my mom's friend's house. And as we're pulling into her driveway, my mom gets out. Her friend was like, oh my gosh, Macy, there is a white dove flying above your van. Well, the dove followed us to where we went. As soon as we all got out of the van, the dove flew back onto my mom's shoulder. We were so, so amazed. I mean, still to this day, I'm amazed. I'm getting goosebumps thinking about it, almost teary-eyed. But we ended up keeping him, long story short. After that, we were like, this is destined. We're taking him home. We ended up naming him Peaches. We had him for several years. Technology was way different in 95. They're not like phones like we have today. I wish I, you know, could find pictures of him because I know for a fact we have some. But I would like to say, in the nighttime, Peaches would stay in my mom's room. He never had a cage. He would stay in my mom's room. And in the daytime, he would just stay in the kitchen and then he would just walk around the house. Like, he never had a cage. He was just like a little human. I just felt like this would be a good story to share. You know, let people know, like, there's something other than this life. This is what made me believe. I'm sorry, I'm getting all tongue-tied. I'm a little nervous here, but I truly believe it was my dad. I have a tattoo of the dove on my arm now. Not that dove, but a dove in memory of my father. So his name is Mike. Love him to death. I miss him every day. Anyways, I hope you can use this for your podcast. Thank you so much. I will call again with some other stories. I have so many.
Thank you, Nicole. That's quite incredible. And I'm pretty skeptical of stories like this. I think a lot of people want to believe so badly that they'll find a connection regardless of the situation. But I'm with Nicole on this one. This is all just too big of a coincidence. And you know, it's really cool that you ended up keeping the bird, Nicole. Peaches sounds like he was a cool dude. But this is a sign received after a loved one's passing. What about receiving a sign right before they go? From my state of California, please welcome Anonymous to the program.
Hi, Derek. I'm calling from Southern California. This is an experience I had at the end of my father's life, who passed away last year, and I was by his side. Interestingly, I fell asleep in his kind of final hours, minutes, and as his vitals were slowing down, I had two dreams. One I can't remember, but the second one, which was just before he took his final breath, was about my dad and I swimming in a body of water, likely in the country I was born in. Interestingly, my mom was not very close. My dad and I were swimming together, and I was worried about a piece of poop on a leaf in the water. We have three dogs, and I don't know if the poop reference was to that or me worrying about something all the time. But he said, you know, don't worry about that. Just come swim with me. Come swim with me. And I looked around. I took a deep breath. And I swam toward him and then with him. Shortly after that, I woke up next to my dad's bedside and watched him take his final breath. I've heard before that, you know, water and end of life are not that uncommon. But this was a pretty crazy experience for me, in part because I was born on a small island in the middle of the summer, and I don't think I would have conscious memories of that area or the scenery, but I'm convinced that that's where it was. And later asking my mom about it and looking at photos of the area, seems like it was exactly there. So we had his funeral about a week later, and between the funeral and the burial at the cemetery, we had about a maybe 15-minute drive getting from one location to the other. And along the way, on a pretty cool November day, we randomly saw the wind pick up. It was otherwise pretty still. The wind picked up and we saw a massive, massive beach ball. I mean, maybe the size of 4 feet in diameter, just roll across the street. A few minutes later, we saw a kiddie pool also just kind of fly across. And just couldn't believe it. The time of year, we're very, very far from a beach. I'm not sure how these things would get over anybody's fence or even make it onto the street. But it was pretty unbelievable that the water theme just carried through all the way until my dad's burial. You know, I thought I was maybe imagining it, but my boyfriend and my mom both noticed it as well, and they thought it was pretty wild. When we got to the cemetery, my cousin ran up to me and said, "Hey, the weirdest thing happened."
And I said, what? Because they hadn't followed up to the cemetery. And she said, I saw this pool, like this huge kiddie pool, just rolling across the road on my way here, and I had to swerve to avoid it. And, you know, she was very close to my dad as well, and said, you know, you didn't take the same path we did. Which way did you go? And she was a couple of pretty large boulevards over, so I'm not entirely sure how this pool made it from where we were to where she was, but kind of felt like he was sending us a sign. Anyway, I just wanted to share that. I feel like maybe as our souls or spirits leave our body, we find a way to communicate with our loved ones. I haven't dreamt about him since, so interestingly, I think that was his final goodbye. All right. Thank you, and love the show. Bye-bye.
Thank you, caller. You know, once is a coincidence. Twice is pretty incredible. But a third time, that's surely a sign. And that's what seems to have happened to our caller as she was en route to the cemetery. A beach ball and two kiddie pools crossing in front of the family's vehicles. And when you factor in the dream, you know, it's not hard to imagine that your father is waiting for you, caller. Perhaps on that small island you dreamt about. Somewhere, somehow. And a huge thanks to both our anonymous caller and Nicole for calling in and for tugging at our heartstrings.
Dropped 21 consecutive series.
Did you know using your browser in incognito mode doesn't actually protect your privacy? Take back your privacy with IPVanish VPN. Just one tap and all your data, passwords, communications, browsing history, and more will be instantly protected. IPVanish makes you virtually invisible online. Use IPVanish on all your devices, anytime you go online at home, and especially on public Wi-Fi. Get IPVanish now for 70% off a yearly plan with this exclusive offer at ipvanish.com/audio.
Some matches are temporary, but your privacy shouldn't be. With Line 2, you get a second phone line just for dating. No need to share your personal number until you're ready. You can chat, text, and even block numbers, all while keeping things fun and private. It's perfect for online dating, blind dates, or just keeping things light. When you're ready to move on, Line 2 lets you cut ties without any drama. Dating should be fun and carefree. Line 2 keeps it that way. Ready to date on your terms? Visit line2.com/audio or download Line 2 in the App Store today.
$49. That's right. Get
if you want to live the California dream every day.
Now for this next entry, we venture to Arkansas. Tatiana, welcome to the program.
Hi, Derek. This is Tatiana from Arkansas. I am calling about a UFO experience that happened to me about a week ago today. I am currently hanging out on the top of my car out here on Interstate 40 watching the meteor shower, and I thought it would be the perfect time to call. But last Saturday, it was August 5th, and it was about 5:48 in the evening. Me and my friend Sarah were hanging out at the pool at her apartment complex, hanging in our floaties, looking at the sky. It was a beautiful day, hardly any clouds, when all of a sudden she noticed something weird in the sky that was really, really far away. So she immediately like jumps out of her floaty and gets out of the pool to kind of stand up and cup her hands around her eyes to see it better. And when I looked up, I could then see it as well. I immediately got out of the pool, and we noticed as it got closer that it was this black circular object, and it was just gliding through the air unlike any kind of plane or drone that I've ever seen before. And it was going really fast. Like, it went from us being able to barely seeing it to us being able to fully tell that it was a perfect circle. We thought it was black, but as it passed overhead of us, it seemed as if there was a blue tint around it. So I grabbed my phone, and I couldn't really see the screen because, you know, when it's summer and it's hot outside and bright, your phone screen's real dark. So I was kind of recording blindly, but I was able to capture it actually. So I'm going to send the video in an email to you so you may see it as well. It was just the craziest thing. I've seen two other UFOs in the past, but neither of them have been this circular. And I noticed that in prior callings here lately, there's been a lot more of these circular UFO sightings. So I thought I would just call mine in. It was a really cool thing to experience it and had to give you a call. Thank you so much. I love the podcast. Have a good night.
You're dead on, Tatiana. There have been an influx of these reports lately. The silver, blue, or black spheres. Seen all over the world. And all of these reports seem to describe the exact same thing. A similar-sized sphere, silently but quickly gliding through the sky. The only detail that seems to vary is the color of the craft. Now, Tatiana did send in a couple of photographs and a video, and it seems to show exactly what she said it does. So to check those out, visit monstersamonguspodcast.com and click on the show notes tab, or I'll be sure to have Sarah add the images to our social media if you want to take a look. And the last thing that I'll point out here on this story is that this is not the only blue orb report to originate out of central Arkansas. The following was encountered almost a year to the day that Tatiana had her experience. Now, this account took place near Morrilton, Arkansas, about 50 miles from Hot Springs. A blue orb ascending and descending slowly. Light would fade when moving laterally, moved in many directions over a few minutes before visual lost. Bright blue color, spotted due east of a central Arkansas town. So I don't have a positive ID for you, Tatiana, but I will say good job to the both of you for catching whatever this thing was on camera. Thank you again for calling in. And folks, that brings us to tonight's closer, a real beast of an entry out of Canada. Please join me in welcoming Chris to tonight's program.
This is Chris calling from southern British Columbia. I am retired from the Royal Canadian Mounted Police in Canada. And I wanted to relate to you a Sasquatch story. So I wasn't directly involved when the call came in as a 911, but I got the story from the investigating constable and did some follow-up on this. So it's not my story, but it's partially my story. This would have happened back in about 06. So I was working in a primarily First Nations community, and Sasquatch to the people here, like, you don't see Sasquatches every day, but Sasquatch is real. Sasquatch is a part of life. And so what had happened was I got to work on a afternoon shift. And the member who had been working the night before asked me if I would help him with follow-up. And I said, sure. And he said, it's kind of a weird one. And I was like, okay. I mean, that's par for the course. I said, well, kind of weird. He said, it's a Sasquatch call. Of course, my curiosity was piqued, very intrigued. So what his account was, he had been working the night before and got a 911 call. And it had been relayed to him that this family was trapped inside of their house. There was some creature that was walking around their house, making, you know, screaming, shrieking noises. He attended their residence. It was on the reserve, but not part of the main reserve. It was reserve lands, but these people essentially had a farm. And when he arrived, he had, you know, his bright headlights on, and he had his takedown lights on. He had the flashing red and blue lights on, and he saw a bipedal hominid in the yard standing behind a vehicle. So, you know, when I got to the yard, I saw it was a Ford Bronco 2, if you remember those. Relatively short-lived vehicle. Smaller version of the Ford Bronco, but still an SUV, like a good size. And I'm going to say, you know, the roof of that thing would probably be, you know, 5 feet, something like that. Tall, but not too tall. I'm like 6'3", so, you know, shorter than me. Maybe even 5.5 feet tall. So my buddy said that he saw this creature standing up behind the Ford Bronco 2. And I said, well, okay, like how much taller was it than the car? And he indicated to me somewhere between 3 and 4 feet. So, you know, that's big. Now, of course, this is British Columbia and this is closer to the coast. These are big mountains. And in those big mountains, you get big bears. But a big bear looks significantly different. Okay, let me put it this way. The people out there know what bears look like. They know what black bears look like. They know what grizzly bears look like. This is like, you know, some city slicker that comes out there and sees a baby black bear and tells you all about their encounter with the grizz. So, no, that's not the case. And he said, again, this thing ran away on two legs, and it leaped over a barbed wire fence and took off into the bush. And I was like, okay. So I was somewhat dumbfounded. And I said, were you scared? And he goes, hell yeah, I was scared. I'm like, okay, yeah, that checks out. I would be scared too. So he grabbed his shotgun, got out, went up to the door. The door was locked. Family was inside. They were all essentially like huddled in their kitchen. And again, it was grandparents and then the parents and the children. And they indicated that it had been several hours of this creature running around, screeching and making horrible noises. Now, here's the thing. It wasn't exactly that there was a Sasquatch there. It was that the Sasquatches were perturbed. So that was what frightened them. That's what scared them. And, you know, everyone was grateful that it took off when my buddy arrived. So fast forward about a month, and I was looking for a stolen vehicle way up in the mountains off the beaten path. And I observed a male. He was out there. He had a bucket and a device. It's kind of like a scoop shovel, but you spot weld nails to the end. And what people use those for is picking berries. So you can kind of like comb through the bush and pick berries. It's very efficient, very good way of doing it. So I stopped and said hello and asked him, you know, if he'd seen a stolen car. Said he hadn't. And I said, well, do you want a ride? And he accepted the ride. Like he was headed back to town, as was I. We started talking. He was a First Nations man. Very super nice guy. Told me some stories that, like, you know, not to do with the paranormal, that had to do with, like, you know, residential school and all the that went down with the Catholic Church, pardon my French, in Canada. Absolutely heinous and disgusting. At any rate, you know, I'd never met him before. So after about like 10 or 15 minutes of us chatting, I said, hey, you know, I had this Sasquatch call. And he said, oh, the old ones. And I was like, okay. So what he told me was that the old ones were very upset about the fact that there was logging going on one of the mountains that was essentially sacred, not only to the First Nations people, but apparently also to the Sasquatch that live there. And to show their displeasure, they would reveal themselves more often and they would be more aggressive. And wildly enough, we didn't get a call about this on the res, but a friend of mine indicated one day that their property, their house, had been narrowly missed by this huge boulder that had rolled like down a hill into the settlement. And it was just super lucky that it stopped where it did, or it would have crashed into their house. It was absolutely enormous. And he said, this fellow that I picked up while hitchhiking, he said to me that these were the kinds of things that you would notice. And if they were really unhappy, they would start showing up in person more. So that was quite a remarkable experience. So I had gone the next day to follow up with these people, and their story was ironclad, like no deviation. Like I saw the fear in their eyes. Whatever it was, they experienced what they were telling me. It wasn't a hoax. It wasn't a lie. It was real. I don't know. I wasn't there, but I sure believe that Sasquatch hangs out there and that's what they saw. Okay, Derek, loving the show. Keep up the good work. Cheers.
Thank you, Chris. I love a good Sasquatch story. And a family trapped in their house by a large bipedal creature that's patrolling outside the home. Screeching creatures in the yard. Giant boulders raining down. Those are all the ingredients of a great Sasquatch story. And you might think that a family under siege by an 8-foot hairy hominoid would be a one-off thing. But you would be wrong. This sort of behavior has been reported in the past by the survivors of the event. Who knows how many didn't live long enough to explain what had happened. Now, when it comes to Bigfeet stalking and harassing a home, one place instantly comes to mind. The tiny town of Hanobia, Oklahoma. But most of you know this case by one simple name. The siege at Hanobia.
When the BFRO was contacted, what did the family say was occurring at the property?
They were harassing the family. They were beating on the walls. They had gotten into a freezer and taken some frozen venison.
They heard this racket, and they come outside, and it was several of these big feet. They shot one of them, and the other ones picked it up and carried it off and took it with them.
The other two animals helped this thing away.
In 1999, the Bigfoot Field Researchers Organization received a frantic call from eyewitness Tim Humphreys, who claimed to have shot a large, hairy, upright creature. Researcher and private investigator Roger Roberts was on the scene within hours.
He said it was beating on the walls from time to time. He would see him at a distance down here in his bottom going back and forth. He said he didn't have too much of a problem with it. He knew they were here, but until they started getting up around his house, he got afraid for his family. He said, you don't understand the nature of these things. It'll be on you before you know it. When he hit it, he knew he didn't have a big enough gun. He went back in the house to get a bigger gun.
Now that clip courtesy of Mysterious Encounters on OLN. Now essentially, these folks down in Oklahoma were being harassed by these things. So the homeowner decided to take matters into his own hands. And he shot one of them. And that is when all hell broke loose. As you just heard. But you know, Hanobia isn't the only violent interaction with this cryptid species to be reported. Not only that, but this next one occurred much, much closer to where the events in Chris's story happened. The Pacific Northwest, Washington State. A place called Ape Canyon. Now here is how the events were described when the story first broke on July 13th, 1924. The following article from the Portland Oregonian. Fight with big apes reported by miners. Fabled beasts are said to have bombarded cabin. The strangest story to come from the Cascade Mountains was brought to Kelso today by Marion Smith, his son Roy Smith, Fred Beck, Gabe Lefevre, and John Peterson, who encountered the fabled mountain devils or mountain gorillas of Mount St. Helens this week, shooting one of them and being attacked throughout the night by rock bombardments of the beast. The men had been prospecting a claim on the Muddy, a branch of the Lewis River about 8 miles from Spirit Lake, 46 miles from Castle Rock. They declared that they saw four of the huge animals, which were about 400 pounds and walked erect. Smith and his companions declared that they had seen the tracks of the animals several times in the last 6 years, and Indians have told them about mountain devils for 60 years, but none of the animals had ever been seen before. Smith met one of the animals and fired at it with a revolver, he said. Thursday, Fred Beck, it is said, shot one, the body falling over a precipice. That night, the animals bombarded the cabin with showers of rocks, many of them large ones, knocking chunks out of the log cabin. According to the prospectors, many of the rocks fell through a hole in the roof, and two of the rocks struck Beck, one of them rendering him unconscious for nearly 2 hours. The animals were said to have the appearance of huge gorillas. They are covered with long black hair. Their ears are about 4 inches long and stick straight up. They have four toes, short and stubby. The tracks are 13 to 14 inches long. These tracks have been seen by forest rangers and prospectors for years. Now you can find that full article in John Green's Sasquatch, The Apes Among Us, on page 89, to be exact. So you see, Chris, this sort of thing has happened before. People have encountered these things outside their homes, and they've pissed them off enough that they come back for blood. Flying rocks and all. And like I said earlier, these are only the stories that we know about. The stories we hear from the survivors. Dead men tell no tales. But incredible stuff, Chris. And a perfect way to cap off tonight's episode. So thank you again for calling in. Now that's going to do it for tonight here, folks. But before I go, Monsters Among Us podcast is written and produced by me, Derek Hayes. Copyright Red Crow Media. Additional support is provided by Sarah Carter Hayes, Delaney Bowers, and Connor Ryan. All media used in this production is done so under the protection of fair use. Give us a like and follow on our social media accounts. Give us a like and follow on YouTube. And give us a rate and review wherever that sort of thing is possible. We would appreciate all three. Now don't forget you can catch the show every Saturday evening at 10 p.m. Eastern on the UnX Digital Network. Just visit unxnetwork.com to tune in. And finally, tonight's score was provided by Iron Cthulhu Apocalypse, Co.ag Music, and Carl Casey at White Bat Audio. Be sure to watch our film. Visit BorregoTriangle.com to tune in. Visit our shop, MonstersAmongUsPodcast.com, and click the shop tab. And check out our after show, The Beyond. Visit MonstersAmongUsPodcast.com and click the Patreon tab this time. All right, folks, you diehards know what to do. As for everyone else, I'll see you next week. Have a good night.
Did you know using your browser in incognito mode doesn't actually protect your privacy? Take back your privacy with IPVanish VPN. Just one tap and all your data, passwords, communications, browsing history, and more will be instantly protected. IPVanish makes you virtually invisible online. Use IPVanish on all your devices, anytime you go online at home, and especially on public Wi-Fi. Get IPVanish now for 70% off a yearly plan with this exclusive offer at IPVanish.com/audio.
Your vision may be impaired after an eye injection or...
1998. Now, the only thing I know about tonight's secret call is that it's a strange one. Please welcome Anonymous. from parts unknown.
Hi, my name is Anonymous, and I live here in the Northeast. And my story is about energy healing, which I just listened to your caller and heard your call to action. So I am a Reiki master and a teacher, and I've been practicing for many, many years now. My story is about this Reiki session that I was able to provide to one of my colleagues who was telling me that their father was very sick and in the hospital, and so I offered them my treatment. I would love to be able to help your father. And so the way that I usually do treatments is I will do remote viewing or astral project into wherever that patient happens to be. And so that night I was meditating and I sent my consciousness over to where the patient was and started to give him Reiki. I walked up to his hospital bed and I could hear the sounds of the machines in the background. And as I started to give him Reiki, I observed what can only be described as these black winged creatures that were feasting on his lower abdomen, kind of like to the side. And I'd never seen anything like that before. And so I started to treat the area. And as soon as I kind of lay my energetic hands over to where these creatures were, they pretty much dispersed quickly. I could hear the flapping of their wings and I can see the impression of them kind of dispersing and flying away. And as they left, they kind of left this gaping hole that was kind of leaking. And so I started to cleanse the space, heal the energetic area, and then I finished with my Reiki treatment. I also observed a lot of like negative energy in the room itself. It was almost like there was like a black cloud. So I just cleansed the room where he was in. And when I finished, I went back into my body and started to do my purification rituals, which is extremely important for anyone doing energy work. You want to make sure that afterwards you kind of cleanse yourself, cleanse your space to rid yourself of any potential energies that are curious or that are, you know, there to do you any harm. And so you just want to clear your space. The next day, when I met with my colleague, I explained to them what I had seen. And they let me know that their father was in the hospital because of failing liver he had. He was basically on death's door. And so the good news is that he's still with us, thankfully. But those are just one of the many things that I've seen. You just never know what you're going to see when you energetically send yourself to any place, especially hospitals. And so that's my story. Thank you so much for giving us this platform, and thank you all, and have a good rest of your day.
Thank you, caller. Now, I admittedly know very little about this side of the paranormal, if that's even where this sort of thing belongs. But I sure didn't know that these practitioners encounter little creatures while doing their energy work. That's certainly not what I had on my bingo card here this evening. But it makes a lot of sense. If what workers like our caller here are claiming is true, there are dark, negative, or even evil entities attached to some people, and their work with energy helps fend these creatures off, whatever they are. Now, I'm slowly learning here, so thank you again, caller, for the lesson. Who knew that sort of thing could be so spooky? And speaking of spooky, I have some incredible spooky calls to share with you in tonight's Beyond. Reoccurring UFOs, ghosts of the murdered, and this interesting entry from Fisher in the state of Colorado. Now remember, to join us, just visit monstersamonguspodcast.com and click the Patreon tab. And don't forget about that 7-day free trial. Now, Fisher, take it away.
Hey, Derek, my name is Fisher, and I am from Salida, Colorado. Just for a bit of context, I have lived in Salida, Colorado my whole life. It's a great place, but with any old minor town comes a fair share of paranormal activity, including like a phenomenon that I fortunately have not witnessed called ghost trains have been witnessed in our town. So many interesting things that it would take hours for me to recount them all. But I just have a couple of personal experiences today that I just wanted to call in with. For this story in particular, I've been playing guitar for a minute now. I've enjoyed it to the point where I applied for a job at our local guitar store in the incredibly haunted downtown Salida, Colorado area. It was a slow Saturday afternoon. I had just closed up shop in the very, very old building of the guitar store that I work at. And I had wrung out my mop, and I was mopping around all the guitar amplifiers, making sure all the guitars were like lined up and polished and ready for the customers the next day. And then I looked down